Thank God for our choir. Thank God for each of you on this morning. God, thank God he's been keeping me. Amen. I tell you, God is able to do anything but fail. I'm just grateful that he's still the size he wants to use me a little longer. Amen. To our associate, the person of Reverend Smith, and to all who are present. And we just want to thank Pastor L.C. Williams for standing in while we were gone. Thank God for him. And I want to thank God for Sister Tina Whipple, who helped out in a big way on last night. Amen. The people who came, their van is still here. The transmission went out, so she helped them meet the other van coming from Texas so they could get back. And thank God for her. Well, now, I won't be too long, but I would call our attention to the book of 2 Kings as we celebrate this last week of Black History Month. A month where we look back and see all the things that we have done since we've been here in the United States. Some of the things, I was a grown man before I realized that who invented the red lights and all these other things. Down south, they didn't teach us all of that stuff. All I knew about the peanut man, Eli Witness. And when I was in the Army, I would hear people from upstate talking about this one and that one, and I would be lost. But thank God. And it sort of goes along with our message, how nobodies can do a whole lot. People who are considered to be nobodies, they can do a whole lot. In the fifth chapter of the book of 2 Kings, we want to read verses 1 through 5, and we're going to talk about another nobody in the Bible. And it reads, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on a raid and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who's in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went in and told his master, and saying that, 'Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel.' And then the king of Syria said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of garments." I'm just going to stop there. We'll just go through it. "The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Because our subject actually comes from verses 2, and said the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And for a little while, I want to talk from the subject, a nobody who made a difference. A nobody who made a difference. It's going to come to you after a while. That song says, "I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody, anybody, about somebody who loves everybody." Thank you, Ursus. And so let me begin by saying, in verses 2 through 4, we note that the text mentions a young girl, And after those two verses, she's never mentioned again anywhere in the Bible. Now, we don't know who her parents were. We don't know what town she came from. We don't know when she died, how she died, nor do we know much about how she lived. And even more, we don't even know her name. But while the Bible is largely silent about this girl, what we do know is that she made a difference. She made a difference because her life touched the people around her in powerful ways. And so she may have been a nobody as far as Syria and we're concerned, but still her life matters. And so this morning I'd like for us to consider this nameless maiden who made a difference in the life of Naaman as well as his family, who made a difference in the history of the nation of Israel as well as in the nation of Syria. And so even if there is only sparse information about this young lady, I believe her life has some big lessons that we can learn from her. And so this morning, I want to try and encourage somebody here, and perhaps somebody may be listening by radio, that even if you feel as if you are a nobody, and others try to make you feel that you are a nobody, I want you to know that if you're saved, your name may not be in lights, written on in big letters on the spiritual marquee of life. But if your name have been written down in the Lamb Book of Life, you are somebody. Yeah, you are somebody as far as the Lord is concerned. And so with your prayer, I want to talk for a little while about a nobody who made a difference. Now, the first thing we note in the text as we consider the lesson taught here concerning this young lady is the condition that defined her life. Now, note, if you will, in verse 2 tells us something of her background that reveals she was born in Israel, meaning she was a part of God's covenant people. But she was taken captive by Naaman and his men in what was probably a small-scale border raid into Israel. She was taken by Naaman and presented to his wife to be her slave. In other words, she was a house servant in the home of a Syrian general. In short, she was a nobody in a famous house. A servant who, yes, Lord, was at the mercy of her mistress, and her life was one of continual work and service. But now it appears like in verse 3 that she had a good relationship with Naaman's wife, but still she was a slave. And that is all she would be able to be as long as she lived, and that would be a servant. But she would never rise to power. She would only be a servant. She'd probably never have a family of her own because her life was one of a lowly, lonely servant. And from all appearances, her existence was hard. Her prospects for the future was bleak. She would live and die as a nobody. But as the text reveals, God was working in her life, and his providence is plain to see. Because God put her where she was so that he might be able to use her for his glory. Now, my brothers and sisters, there's a lesson here in the condition of her life that we don't want to miss, because most people in this room will never become famous. Some of us will never be known outside the circle of our family and friends, because in truth, most of us are just nobodies as far as the world is concerned. Folk don't know who you are in New York and California, maybe, and London, England. They don't know our names in Washington, D.C. We are not consulted when important decisions have to be made, because most of us are destined to live and die just like this young girl. We're destined to live a life and live a and die in anonymity. But in spite of that, our lives still matter. They matter because God, yes, Lord, has you where you are for a purpose. Now, you may think that you don't matter. You may think that your life is routine and mundane. But just like God worked in the life of this servant girl, he's working in your life also. Because every connection in your life is part of his plan for you. And that's why you never know who your life will influence, amen, for Christ. You never know who your life will touch for the glory of God. Because no matter what you or anyone else may feel or think, I still want you to understand that you matter. Perhaps your purpose here might be just to faithfully serve. If so, that's important work. If your purpose here may be to just teach children how to love the Lord and live for the glory of God, if so, that's important. Your purpose here may be to support God's kingdom, amen, work in the world through giving of your tithes and offerings, a special donation. If so, that's important work. Your purpose here may be to serve as a prayer warrior by lifting the needs of others up to the Lord. If so, that's an important work. Your purpose here might be to witness to your friends and co-workers. If so, that's an important work. The bottom line, my brothers and sisters, whatever your purpose for being in the world right now, God has placed you where you are, amen, for his glory. Meaning your life matters because your life has been orchestrated by God as part of his eternal purpose. And that's why the Bible says in Psalm 37 and 23, he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Then the writer of Proverbs declares in Proverbs 16 and 9, it says, a man's heart's plan is way, but the Lord directs his steps. For instance, there was another little Jewish girl by the name of Esther, who when her people were threatened by a wicked and powerful man, she was confused about what she would do in her situation. But then her cousin, who was an important figure in her life, spoke to her about her duty before the Lord. Her cousin wanted her to speak to her husband to convince him to change his mind about what he was going to do to her people. But now she was afraid to speak to her husband about this issue because she was married to the king, and he hadn't called her in to enter his presence. And if she did without the king inviting her, it might mean her death if she came before his presence without a royal invitation. But her cousin urged her to do whatever was necessary to save her people. He said to her, according to Esther 4 and 14, he said, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to this kingdom for such a time as this? Yes, Esther was a nobody in her world, but God in his providence raised her up out of obscurity and put her exactly where she needed to be to make a difference in the life of her people. Because Esther did speak to the king, and God used her to save her people. My brothers and sisters, both this young maiden in our text along with Queen Esther teach us the same truth. Hear that truth, and it is God has worked in your life and my life to place us just where we are, and he's in charge of opening and closing all the doors of our lives as he leads us and guides us to do his will. And so regardless of where you are or who you are, you need to know that the Lord has a plan to use your life for his glory. Because your life matters, meaning in spite of our condition, the Lord has us right where he wants us. You know, sometimes I never thought I'd be in Leesville, but God got me just where he wants me. Are you with me? I never aimed at Leesville, but the Lord got me right where he wants me. If you told me 10, 15, 20 years ago I'd be in Leesville, I said, no, Jesus. Not that there's anything wrong with Leesville. It's just that I was a young preacher at one time. I was trying to get to the big city. Are you with me? But God knows where he wants each of us to be. Somebody just said, well, no, they never thought they'd be in Mount Island. But look at you. God got you right here. Are you here with me? And our duty for God is to grow where he's planted us. For instance, David thought that he was a nobody because he was the youngest son in his humble family. But God chose him to be the king over his people. Elijah thought he was a nobody, but God raised him out of obscurity and used him to touch a nation. And so you may think that you're a nobody, but if you belong to the Lord, he has some big plans for your life. Because my brothers and sisters, no matter how mundane your service to the Lord may seem, if he is working through your life, you are not a nobody, you are somebody, because heaven knows your name. But not only does the text reveal the condition that defined her life, but secondly, we see the convictions that developed her life. My brothers and sisters, this young lady may have been a humble slave in the eyes of the Syrians, but she was a giant when it came to her faith. Meaning this little captive slave girl knew some important truths about God and how he works. Because it seemed from verse 3 that someone had taught this girl about the power of God. Because she knew who God was, and she knew what he could do for those who placed their faith in him. It was her conviction about God that shaped the way she lived her life. Because she let him know who he was. Are y'all here with me? Because let me show you what kind of God she served. She knew that God, the God of Israel, was real. How many of y'all know God is real? But the Bible, but the people of Syria didn't serve the Lord God Almighty. They served a pagan God. And according to verse 18, they worship a false god by the name of Rimmon, who was called the storm god. They thought Rimmon had the power to control the weather pattern, the crops, and the stones. But this young lady knew the God of creation. She knew the God who was able to deliver his people from slavery. She knew the God who was able to display his power in countless ways. She knew God Almighty that made her different and made her life count. She knew that God had the power to heal and that God alone was worthy to be worshipped. Because by her mentioning God to her mistress, she was revealing her dedication to God of Israel. Now she may have been a captive in a pagan country, but her heart was still belonged to the Lord God Jehovah. My brothers and sisters, her faith in God is a testimony to us. How is this? Because our conviction about God and his word should determine how we live. Meaning that we believe that God is truly God and the Bible is truly his word, it should affect the way we live. Because let's be honest, we live in a world that places little emphasis on conviction. But the word conviction simply means to be convinced. Because when we are convinced about something, it's hard to change our minds. When we are convinced about something, it actually affects the way we act. If I'm convinced that same-sex marriage is wrong, and I am, you can't do nothing to change my mind. If I'm convinced that Jesus is Lord and nobody can be saved other than through him, and I am, you can't change my mind about it. If I'm convinced that the Bible is the word of God and I am, it will order my life, then you can't change my mind. Because as people of God, we are to be governed by biblical convictions. In other words, we should base what we believe to be right or wrong on the Word of God. Because, my brothers and sisters, we shouldn't judge things just by our opinions. I heard the man say the other night, say our opinions just like everybody got a nose. And everybody got an opinion, meaning everybody got a nose, everybody got an opinion. We should also base our doctrinal convictions on the Bible, or what the Bible says, because far too long the people of God have lived by emotions and preferences, and we have allowed our...
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Every 10 years, the federal government conducts a population count of everyone in the U.S. Data from these counts help to inform the parameters of how the government will distribute more than $675 billion to communities annually. This includes you and everyone in your community. This affects funding for schools and other educational institutions, transportation, housing, healthcare, and employment. You can complete your 2020 census online, over the phone, or by mail. Visit www.census2020.gov.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.